Matt Reister, Executive Director for Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. Thanks for your interest in this episode of Homer Larson Live, which is a series of sermons preached live by Pastor Homer Larson, who served as senior pastor at Nazareth Lutheran Church in Cedar Falls, Iowa from 1953 to 1996. I'd also like to say thanks to Western Home Communities and Fresh Wind Ministry for sponsoring the Homer Larson Live series. You'll have a chance to learn more about their organization and ministry during the announcements at the end of this sermon. And one more thing before we get into it. The Homer Larson Live series does not exist primarily to raise up a man, but rather to raise up the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth of God's word, which the Lord gifted and used the man, Pastor Homer Larson, to communicate clearly and passionately. We pray that you will be inspired. We hope that this will help raise the bar around preaching for everyone who listens, and we trust that God will accomplish his purposes through the message you're about to hear. I'll talk to you afterwards. Thanks again for finding us and making this a priority.
Shall we pray together? God in heaven, the simplicity of this message is so overwhelming, and that it is so profound is most baffling. We can understand some of the facts of a woman giving birth to a babe, but we cannot understand the inner mysteries of all of this, not by our own mind, unless it is revealed to us by your Holy Spirit. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will come again this night. Open our hearts and our minds and our tongues, and grant that we may look at the simple, but move just a little bit further in your school to see all of the implications that are revealed here. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The beauty of the Christmas Eve gospel is its simplicity. You've heard it if you came from a Christian home, from the time you were born. I remember my grandfather and my grandmother telling me this story along with my own parents. Very, very simple. That a woman, child almost, teenager, 14, 16 years of age, was found to be with child. Her name was Mary. And she was betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. And they went to Bethlehem. And while they were in Bethlehem, she gave birth to this baby, and they called the baby Jesus, and he was born out in a manger because there was absolutely no room in the inn. And while that was going on in the manger, out on the hillside, there were those shepherds who were keeping watch of their flocks by night, and lo and behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to them and gave this great announcement. There has been born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And then there was that angelic voice that sang, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among men with whom I am pleased. That's a simple, simple gospel of Christmas. And it is so simple. And it is so filled with beauty and emotion that it has grabbed the hearts of some people who had such genius in the literary world that they were able to take that and put it into story form. And out of that has come forth one great Christmas story after another, which we enjoy in our homes, which we see on television, the marvels of the simplicity of that Christmas Eve gospel. And it grabbed the hearts of some of the great musicians, and they wrote this music that we sing tonight, the Christmas Carol, Silent Night, Holy Night, Away in the Manger, and so forth and so on. And on to the great music of such works as the Messiah, which Handel grabbed and put to music in order to express his emotions. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. So forth and so on. That's a simplicity of the Christmas Eve gospel. Now, friend, if you live with this gospel in your heart, if it can linger there until it moves on beyond our Christmas Eve celebration, pretty soon we begin to understand that there are some overwhelming announcements. They first came to that woman by the name of Mary. We read through this so very, very quickly, and it is so familiar that perhaps sometimes we miss what is being said to us. Now just imagine, a 14 to 16 year old girl planning to get married is told by the angel, Mary, you're going to have a baby. What do you think you would say? Exactly what she said. Ha ha. I can't be. I'm a virgin. But what an announcement. What a shock. That was overwhelming. So you see, in the midst of that simple message is some profound truth. She goes with her betrothed to Bethlehem, and while they're there, it's time for her to give birth to this baby. Well, if he's going to be as great as the angel said he was going to be, if he's going to set up a kingdom, certainly God must have provided something for me. And yet he didn't even give her a bed. There was no place in the inn, nothing at all. And she had to go out and lie in a manger. Now remember, Mary is a human being. I don't know for sure what she thought, but I believe it was something like this. Wow, this is a mystery. As she looked at that babe and thought, he is supposed to be a king, and the God who announced this doesn't even give him a cradle, but he's out here in the manger. And then the years went by, and it says in the scriptures, and to that I refer in our gospel tonight, Mary treasured up all of these things and pondered them in her mind. She just didn't ponder them while she was at Bethlehem. She pondered them during those 33 years as she walked with him. He was going to be the king. That's what the angel said. He is going to set up a kingdom, and of this kingdom there will be absolutely no end. As they walked over the Judean hills and by the Sea of Galilee, they saw people there who were after them, who threatened him, who wanted to crucify him. What kind of a kingdom was it going to be? And as she stood there beneath that cross, 33 years later, she was still pondering the truth. What in the world was that mystery of Christmas Eve really all about? They have killed him. It's profound. It is so profound that we sometimes are just willing to let the simple part of it stand by itself. And maybe that's what we ought to do on a Christmas Eve, I don't know. But this is my last Christmas Eve sermon to the congregation as your senior pastor. I want to go just a little bit deeper. Because there are words in that Christmas gospel, my friend, that come to us too. And if you are touched by the Holy Spirit, now if the Holy Spirit is not at work in you at all, this doesn't mean very much. But if you are sensitive to the Spirit working through this Christmas gospel, then listen. This is as shocking as anything that was ever said to Mary and that is said to you and to me tonight. What was it that Gabriel said to Joseph? You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save. Take a look at that word. Not just teach. He shall save, redeem, restore. That's what it means. His people. From their what? From their sins. Their little petty mistakes? No. From their sins. For these people are not in a relationship with God. That's what he said. And that, I don't know if it is to this congregation here tonight, but to the society of which we are a part, That message, let me tell you something, ringing now not from the angels but from the inspired word of God. My beloved friends, you are sinners in need of a Savior. That's what the angel cries out tonight. It is affirmed again with that word that came to the shepherd, for there is born to you this day in the city of David. What? A leader? A great moral example? No. Surely to be that, but far more than that. There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior. You need a Savior. That's a pretty shocking announcement. Then you go on. And you read in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, he came to his own, and his own received him not. But to those who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power, now notice, to become the children of God. What's the announcement? Everybody who walks on this earth is not a child of God. That's shocking. We hear that all the time, don't we? Here at Nazareth Church, during these four Sundays in Advent, we've been talking on the prologue of John, the first 18 verses of the first chapter of the Gospel of John. And we've been seeing how God has opened up some thoughts. This idea, friend, that we are all God's children, this is not biblical. Now, if you want to think of it in the sense that he created all of us, that's true. In that sense of the word, I imagine biologically or however else you wanted to put it physically, yes, we are the children of God. But in a sense that we walk in an intimate, personal relationship with God means this. You must be born again. Rebirth. Is that not just as shocking as to hear the angel say to Mary, you're going to have a baby? Mr. Larson, you need to be born again. For to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he became the children of God. I have to become. I am not born a child of God. I don't know what you say with this, about this. I don't know what your response is to it, but this is the Christmas gospel. This is what we have when we look beyond just the simple to the very profound. God has the answers. And so I say, is that really right, God? Am I hearing you correctly? Let's go back over this once more. Is it really true that I do need a Savior? Your only ticket, to put it in the vernacular, your only ticket into the kingdom of God is through faith in Jesus Christ. That takes away the simple, doesn't it? That makes it so profound. That causes me to ask the question, you really mean that? In this day and age, with all of our advancements, that's the only way? Then what about this? And what about that? And what about this? And here's the mystery. I'm not here tonight, friend, to proclaim the mystery to you, to answer the mystery. I don't have the answer to the mystery. I can only tell you that that's the way that God grants you and me the forgiveness of our sins. We can't buy forgiveness. We can't earn it. There is nothing that we can do to merit it. There is no service that we can render that will make him obligated to forgive us. His forgiveness comes by grace alone. And so God had to come into this world according to his plan. And the symbols of the cradle and the cross and the empty tomb are God's answer to my problem of sin that would separate me from God. But the glorious part of this is that in Him, it's all forgiven. And that's why we rejoice tonight as Christians who are here worshiping. It is all forgiven. Everything is forgiven. Doesn't matter what the past might have been. That's the Christmas Eve gospel. There is born to you a Savior. Take it away. If you've come into this house tonight with guilt and you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are completely forgiven. You are restored into fellowship with God. You walk out of here as a son or a daughter of the King, for you have now entered into the kingdom of God, whenever that was that Christ became yours. Whether it's tonight, whether it's been 50, 60, 70 years ago, whether it's when you were baptized and then you confirmed that faith by trusting Him in a very personal way. You're His. You're a part of the kingdom of God. That's what He wants to tell you. And when you and I are a part of the kingdom of God, then we walk with Him. Walk with Him on this earth. Does life get any easier? No, it doesn't get any easier. There are the good days. There are the bad days. This is, I pray for most of us who are here tonight, a delightful night. It certainly is for me, and I pray it is for you. But for some, it may be a very difficult night. But you're in His kingdom. He is your Savior. He walks with you. He takes you by the hand, and He's going to be with you through thick and thin, good and bad days, until one day He comes and takes us home to heaven, and then all of the mysteries are revealed. I can't help but believe that when Mary came into the kingdom of heaven, the first thing that she must have said to her son, restored into the Godhead, "What in the world went on that Christmas Eve night? Tell me about it." Well, if Mary had to have some explanation, certainly you and I need to have some explanation. But this is it, friend. This is where it all takes place. This is where life makes sense. 50, 60, 70, 80 years on this earth and we die, but then we come to be with the Lord. And the mysteries of Christmas Eve and Golgotha and the empty tomb and everything else is finally answered. I'm at home. And that's what the kingdom of God is all about. Not very simple, is it? Really pretty profound. I can't solve the mystery. But here then is this fantastic offer. And we reclaim it again tonight if it's already ours. And if you've never claimed it, then I plead with you to claim it tonight. He came to His own, and His own received Him not. But to those who received Him, who believed in His name, that's the offer. He gave them the right to become the children of God. Membership in the kingdom is not pushed on us. I will never forget my beloved old professor, Dr. George Oss, who would stand in front of the class and he would say, as you proclaim the gospel, tell the people that God will never violate their personality. And don't you ever try to do it either. And so we're here tonight simply to say that this is the offer. And for many of you, you have experienced that. And for those of you who haven't, that you can let Him into your hearts, for there is born to you then in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Then you get a commissioning, and the commission is this, that you will join the heavenly host, the angels, in spreading the good news of Christ and hope and security and peace and love and new values to the far parts of the world. You see, that's the way that God does it today. At least I don't think He's doing it primarily through angels, but He's doing it through people like you who have assembled here tonight who know what I'm talking about. There is born in your heart a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And you ring that message out and you tell that story wherever you have an opportunity. Start with your little children. Tell them the story again and again. And as they get older and say, but I can't quite believe that, it just doesn't make sense, just tell them, tell it to them, tell it again. And watch the Holy Spirit as He takes the simple and moves to the profound to make it reality on which you build your life. So I urge you to enjoy the simple reading of the gospel in your home tonight and tomorrow. But then I pray that you will go beyond that and that you will join Mary and ponder its truth, which will leave you and me with mysteries until they are finally revealed in our eternal home. But until then, we will go on, anxious to know the real secrets of Christmas Eve and the meaning of that message. Hallelujah, there has been born to us a Savior. Go home happy, if Christ is yours. Go home rejoicing. There has been born to you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Amen.
This has been Homer Larson Live, a series of sermons preached from the pulpit at Nazareth Lutheran Church in Cedar Falls, Iowa, where Pastor Larson served from 1953 to 1996, and published by Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry, where Pastor Larson was a broadcast preacher from 1962 to 2013. In addition to this series, many of Pastor Larson's radio programs dating back to the early 2000s are archived on the CC Broadcast, which is available for free wherever you're listening to this. Besides the CC Broadcast, our weekly radio program, Christian Crusaders also hosts the CC Podcast, Daily Dose Devotions, where we've archived hundreds of devotions on our way through the entire Bible, and the CC Podcast Conversations, which includes dozens of inspiring interviews with interesting Christians. Please see the show notes for links to all these free resources or visit ccpodcasts.com for more information. We want to give a very special thanks to our series sponsor, Western Home Communities and Fresh Wind Ministry. Western Home Communities began in the early 1900s as, quote, the Western Old People's Home, quote, a home for the aged, started by the Evangelical Association in one of that denomination's western states, which happened to be Iowa, more specifically, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Since then, a second campus has been added with 150 acres for villas, independent and assisted living, and nursing communities. Today, Western Home Communities remains a charitable Christian service organization that assertively creates fulfilling lifestyles for those they serve. You can learn more at westernhomecommunities.org. Fresh Wind Ministry provides Christ-centered spiritual care and programming within the Western Home Communities. They focus on building trusting relationships with residents, staff, and their families. Chaplains visit, counsel, and walk alongside residents in all levels of care offered by Western Home Communities, including hospitalizations, crisis, and end-of-life care. Fresh Wind Worship has services in the Diamond Event Center every Sunday at 10:30 a.m., which can be viewed on Facebook and YouTube. For more information, visit westernhomecommunities.org/freshwind. Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry is fully donor-funded. If you'd like to support our work, you can do so online at christiancrusaders.org or by mailing a check to Christian Crusaders, 7401 University Avenue, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Also, feel free to email us with questions or for more information about this episode or any of our other programs. You can send emails to info@christiancrusaders.org. Thanks for listening, and may God richly bless you.